take your seat in the circle of things, the circle of our community here in the Sangha, but also our place in the circle of life around us. Again, allowing just in these initial moments to kind of stake the ground of belonging, belonging to this earth, belonging in the circle. Again, first time here, been here forever. Okay. Can we give ourselves permission to belong? Belong to this earth, belong in this body. For the anchor of our sit today, I'm going to invite us to stay with the sensation of the body. The first foundation of mindfulness is being with the body. And as my hands just went there, naturally can be helpful to, in the beginning of a sit or all the way through, to have the hands on the heart and the belly as a way of just reminding, here, can I rest in this body? And it may be helpful to allow the mindfulness of the body to rest upon the motions, the movement of the breath, something that happens, thankfully, naturally. The in-breath, the out-breath, and this motion of the wind element, we may feel or would like to play in the subtlety of feeling how the breath moves in and out of the nostril or the mouth, or the rising of the chest, the expansion in the belly. Can we allow this movement that's happening of our breath to be an anchor point in the present moment? The mind will do what it does, right? Pulling us off into stories that are interesting or boring or repetitive or seductive. Okay. That's what the mind's doing. And then coming back to, oh, wait. Can I allow the attention to rest on this in-breath, this out-breath as the anchor? For some of us, the breath is not neutral. Whether there's a condition with the lungs or asthma or for any number of reasons, the breath is not a neutral place to rest the attention. So then we can allow the attention instead just to rest on the sensations. It could be the hands to the heart and the belly, just resting on that sensation, the fatigue that may come in the arms or the different temperature changes. You can be feeling the weight of the hands on the legs, if that's where they're resting. Again, the temperature, the weight, the sensations. If the hands are holding each other, again, allowing the anchor of our attention to be, oh, check this out. In this moment, it feels like this. And then there's a change. Yeah. And it's really allowing the awareness to become subtle in this moment, in the next, in our day-to-day lives. There can be a habit of just kind of, I know, and blurring everything together. And the pointing here is, no, wait, check this out. What happens when you let the attention rest in the half breath or the sensation of this moment? And training the mind and the awareness just to rest in this moment and see, oh, and then it's different. Maybe just a tiny bit, but feeling into this impermanence of from one moment to the next, nothing stays the same. So please remember, there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seats, we see what happens. Sometimes the mind is cooperative and steady, and sometimes it's all over the place. Okay, we don't need to make a problem of that. We're really also, as I said earlier, cultivating this gentleness of, oh, sweetie, in this moment, this breath, this sensation, it's just like this. Thank you. So nice, as always, to sit together. Today I wanted to play around. It's a little bit of continuing the thread from last week of how do we work with the mind and the attachment we can have to our fixed self. There's a little bit of the thread from last week, but really wanting to play more today with how do we find refuge in a world that's constantly changing? And I came across a quote that I used to share quite often, and some of you probably have heard, because it's one of those things that of late, not so much, but sort of back at a certain time, it was quoted a lot, particularly by Jack and Tara. And it's from Tara's book, True Refuge, which is beautiful. It's a lovely book. If you haven't read it, I totally recommend it. But it's a quote from D.H. Lawrence, and he wrote it as an intro. D.H. Lawrence found himself in a society devastated by a war, a landscape despoiled by industrialism, and a cultural suffering from a radical disconnection between mind and body. So he wrote these words in 1931. It is a question practically of relationship. We must get back into relation, vivid and nourishing, relation to the cosmos and the universe. For the truth is, we are perishing for lack of fulfillment of our greater needs. We are cut off from the great sources of our inward nourishment and renewal, sources which flow eternally in the universe. Vitally, the human race is dying. It is like a great uprooted tree with its roots in the air. We must plant ourselves again in the universe. And this beautiful, I find beautiful invitation, and I love that image, like we must plant ourselves in the universe. And as I was thinking about this the last couple of days, it's like, yeah, but the universe is always changing. And particularly in our day-to-day lives with so much, it feels like sort of upheaval and change. And I spoke last week sort of what can be as Carlita said, of us being spoon-fed sort of fear, but this way of what's happening in the world and the climate change, all these different ways, monkeypox, I mean, there's all these things to be concerned about, to be fearful of, and this constant movement. And this sort of playing with it's okay, what are we actually planting our roots in? D.H. Lawrence is pointing to the universe, that flow of the cosmos, which is beautiful and sometimes hard to kind of, can be a little conceptual. And the Buddha spoke very clearly about where we can find true refuge, which, as the title of Tara's book suggests, that's what the book's about. But really, in the traditionally the triple gems. Are taking refuge. We take refuge in the Buddha. We take refuge in the man, that this is possible. And he has said in the suttas, I did it, you can do it. Very encouraging. So taking refuge in the historical fact that this awakening into a liberated mind and heart is possible. We can take refuge in the Dharma, which is the truth. We take refuge in that which is true. This is the nature of things to change. There is not a fixed, solid, identifiable self. Nothing is permanent, perfect. This way that there's truths in the Dharma of the teachings that we know to be true because we verify them. We can hear them sometimes like, that sounds great. And we try it out and not so much. Or we have doubt, sort of a healthy doubt, investigative doubt. Does this really work? And then we practice for a while. What happens? Is there a development of, oh yeah, this is helpful. And so that's the truth. That's the truth of the Dharma that becomes something we can rely upon. And then the third refuge is that of Sangha. Here we are, right? This class that's been running for almost 20 years, that there are we, and the Buddha's very clear, like we don't really do this by ourselves. He was in community. I think I want to say this all the time. I don't know if that's actually true, but this need to be in community is a vital part of the practice. And it can be a particular fixed sangha, like what we have blessedly on these Thursdays. It can be sangha of our friends and communities of wise individuals. Yeah. Sort of finding out who are our the wise companions that accompany us through our lives. Some stay, when we're lucky, our whole time, and some we have them for a season. of being able to find places of refuge in an existence that is constantly changing. And I want to bring in the five recollections, which I have on my wall and read most days. The five recollections: I am of the nature to grow old. There is no way to escape growing old. I am of the nature to have ill health. There is no way to escape having ill health. I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. My actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground upon which I stand. Pretty powerful. And an allowance for, like, these are givens. This is true. You know, all things will change. I am of the nature to grow old. I will grow old. The nature to die. I will die. All that is beloved to me and dear will end. Relationally or human to human or object to object, and allowing these truths to be known, to be rested upon, as opposed to what we're kind of acculturated to, like, oh, there's something wrong. Like this face with this wrinkles here, there are 1,000 creams that can prevent that. Not so much. You know, the ways of, like, if you eat these right things, you'll stay healthy. Yes, you will stay healthy for a time, perhaps, but you will, all of us, we will get sick. We will die. And in being able to weave these truths into our daily existence, there's a way of, oh, okay. As a way of shifting our perspective. I was talking with someone yesterday and he told me about an app. It's called We Croak. I haven't looked it up yet, but he said it gets like 4 or 5 notices a day. That's like, you're going to die. I was like, what? And he said, yeah, everyone I tell that to laughs, but it's really great because it really brings me back to what's true. I'll check it out and let you know next week. But just this reminder of what happens when we really allow ourselves to accept the fact, oh, everything is changing. So then where do we actually find refuge? And sometimes and Tara talks about this, I've spoken of it before, the false refuges of some social media, Netflix, streaming, whatever, gaming, or shopping or sex or addictions that we have, we can find refuge there. And sometimes in the short term, it's like, whew, I just want to check out for a little bit in some capacity or another. Yes, and understanding over time that that's not actually reliable or it's not actually onward leading. It can be a checkout for an hour. Okay. And then we come back to our lives and the challenges and the delights that are here. And the Buddha's really pointing to, yes, and how do we take refuge? How do we find places to rest that are onward leading in terms of our development, our capacity to live a life with a little more ease in the mind, a little bit more of an open heart? And we can, you know, push beyond that just a little bit into more, but just it's really a shift in orienting to see where are the actual true refuges that are available to me that are onward leading in a way that I can actually rest upon them. And pulling in D.H. Lawrence's quote, so plant ourselves back in the universe. What does that mean? Where do we actually plant ourselves? Because often when we're not tracking the experience, we can find ourselves planted in soil that's like, ooh, this is not actually nourishing. In my youth, it would be like, this is really toxic soil. But I didn't know enough to be able to figure that out. And it really took coming to the practice to sort that out. But being able to identify first, where do I actually plant myself? And I think in this, I don't know what we're calling this time. It's not post-pandemic, but it's pandemic land of this time. But the early first couple of years of COVID, it was like, oh my God, what's happened? And in the isolation that came and the brokenness that happened with many people's of our relationships and safety and community and being kind of conditioned to be scared of someone, or when someone sneezes or coughs, it's like, ooh, the sort of fear that has been sort of seeped into the air we're breathing, literally. And how do we work now with recreating, reconnecting in a way that we all take care of ourselves in the way that we want to feel safe. In as much as we can feel safe, that's another talk, but being able to form reconnections that have been really challenged. And some people, we all went through that time differently, of course, but I have found in professionally and in my talking with friends and cousins, loved ones, there a greater sense of isolation did creep into our lives, which makes this quote ever more timely of how can we take refuge in the flowing cosmos of the universe that is enduring, dare I say, reliable, but can be ethereal until we allow ourselves a place of like, oh, when we can touch into it. And these practices of stilling the mind and opening the heart often, and know this for myself and in talking with so many practitioners, we can have that sense of, oh yeah, there is this other presence. And when we lean into the loving kindness practice, I think even the remarkable energy that can be created in an online sangha is this that I'm speaking of. Oh, it's right here. It may not be visible, but can we allow ourselves to trust in it? From Kabir, a place to sit. Do not go outside your house to see flowers. My friend, don't bother with that excursion. Inside your body, there are flowers. One flower has 1,000 petals. That will do for a place to sit. Sitting there, you will have a glimpse of beauty inside the body and out of it, before gardens and after gardens, right? The gardens will die. They may come back to life, but being able to see the beauty of the seasonal changes around us, be it in the tangibleness of a garden or the more less defined seasons of friendships and jobs and houses and relationships and all of that, that before and after there is the beauty of this inner space that is accessible to us when we give ourselves permission to land in it. When we give ourselves the space to actually have to clear away the hindrances of greed and aversion, the sleepiness, sloth, torpor, and doubt, clear away what for many of us can be just a trauma history. That it might be a nice idea to sit, but it's like, ooh, I have a lot of demons here that need to be tended to and known and cared for before that sense of safety can be there. So it's not like sit and then, oh, great, we found it. For some, maybe, but allowing there to be, it's kind of almost like realistic real expectations of it's hard. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we can have those sits where it's like, ah, this is so great. And other times we're sitting like, oh, when is the bell going to ring? It's so hard, right? And that's just being with ourselves when conditions are supported. That's rarefied. When we're in our day-to-day with our loved ones or kids or parents, those that are dear to us, it's complicated. There's a story, I think, of Schopenhauer's porcupines, the idea that porcupines come together because they want to be close and they love each other, and like, ow, 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 and then they move apart and then they come back together. But there's this constant movement of like, where's the perfect balance? It's like, it's always changing. And allowing that to be, oh yeah, that's part of this human realm. First noble truth, there is suffering. You are born into a world that has suffering. And dukkha can be, as many of you know, variously translated as suffering or distress, disappointment. That's universal. That's just built into the weft and whatever those two words are, the fabric of how it is to be human. It's not a problem. It's like, oh yeah. So how do we relate to that? Knowing, okay, these are conditions, like 5 recollections, getting old, getting sick, dying, losing everything. Not as like, oh my God, this is a depressing realm to be in, but oh wow, let's really be awake and aware so I can take advantage of this life that's before me. All right. I won't look too hard, but I have a quote for that. Come on. Yes. From Anthony DeMilo. Is there anything I can do to make myself enlightened? As little as you can do to make the sun rise in the morning. Then of what use are the spiritual exercises you prescribe to make sure you are not asleep when the sun begins to rise? Yeah, that's what we do. We are in training to be able to be awake in this moment and in the next. And from Christina Feldman's book, Boundless Heart, this quote of like, there is nothing, there's no task of greater magnitude than in this moment. And I come back to this repeatedly when I can be overwhelmed by various things, like, wait, it's just this moment. It's this half breath. It's this exhale, as a way of giving us a place to succeed. You know, sometimes people will come to the practice like, I'm going to sit for half an hour every morning and every night. Maybe. Okay. What if we lower the bar so we can have a sense of success in our practice? And sometimes that we may evolve into that. We have an hour in the morning and after night and blessings. Absolutely. And how do we, in relation to this practice and really in relationship to this life, set ourselves up to be in practices with practices that are onward leading, but we're successful in our expectations. We don't set the bar here, but it's like, what if, again, the half breath? Oh, okay. And then the mind gets pulled out. It's not a problem. And in thinking about being able to be realistic about where we are in our lives, what the conditions are, where we're pulled, what's actually going on, meeting that of, okay, in this season of my life, these are the demands on my time. This is what's possible. Okay, let's work within what's possible and establish ourselves, place anchors in our world that can support us when the inevitable whirlwind comes or changes come. All right, how about this? How about we close our eyes and just take a minute. That was a lot of words for me to sort of how that's resonating or not. What you're noticing in the body, allowing the attention to come back into your own physical form. And to play with this image of planting our roots in the universe. And just notice what comes, if there's a resistance to it or what the response to that is. And then to consider, well, where are my roots planted? And for some of us, we may have really clear answers, and some might be like, I have no idea. Or what roots? Okay. And allowing the first responses to be what they are without any judgment, and just be curious. What are the anchors in the day-to-days of our lives? People that we're connected with, routines that we have, obligations. There's sort of a logisticalness of what can be our anchors. Like, well, I do this and I do that, I do this. And what I'm hoping we can touch into are more the anchors of the heart. What do we know to be true in this life? Again, taking refuge in that which is true. And allowing ourselves to kind of cast about. What do I know to be true in this life? Maybe the truth about the people that we love. Truth about being in nature. Truth about them, whatever it is. I don't want to put my own words to that, but just allowing that question to kind of echo, what do I know to be true in this life from the heart? Not about conditions or logistics, but what does the heart love? I guess is maybe a more direct question. And what feels reliable, reliably true? And I'm asking this to allow ourselves to, again, drop into what may be a subtle teasing out of what feels reliably true as a way of naming, oh yeah, this is a refuge. When things are crazy or I'm grief-stricken or sad or stressed, I can come back to this truth. And allowing, if this image is helpful, that truth that may not be entirely clear yet, or maybe as one of the pillars or the roots to dig into the loamy soil of our life. To be able to identify and name what is nourishing to me. And playing with a distinction between the kind of like, what's the kind of quick fix, which I was mentioning before, isn't necessarily onward leading. But what do I know to be true as deeply nourishing? Time with loved ones, time in nature, time in water, time in practice. With books that we love, painting, whatever it is, dancing, music. What are reliable refuges that are nurturing and grounding? Oh, I feel like myself when I feel most myself when I. And again, letting the answers kind of just gather. Seeing what's here, seeing what's harvestable. Yeah. Seeing what can go in as compost to the soil in which we plant ourselves. Can we take refuge in an ever-changing world and that which we love and know to be true about what matters most to us? And again, listening and allowing the voice of the heart as opposed to the mind, which often can be not so reliable. Allowing there to be a congruence, perhaps, from the heart and the body and the mind. Yes, this matters. This is a place I can rest my heart, idea of faith. This is a place where I can take refuge. This is a place where I can plant my roots in the universe and also in the loamy soil that will support me in the day-to-day. That is ever changing. So I'm going to stop here. Thank you so much for your kind attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.